We're holding Chesivov, Amud Aleph, just about the middle, a little bit past the middle of the Amud. The line begins Fugla. We talked yesterday about Acher, about how he was one of the Avon Nichnas little Pardis, and he unfortunately became an Apikodis as a result of it, and so he saw Malach Matat sitting, and he couldn't understand how it could be that Malach sits. And he thought that it means that there is like, you know, Hashem is the higher God and Matat is the lower God or something. That's what happened. So he went completely off the derech and was doing Averis. Tosfos, by the way, mentions, it wasn't just, good morning, Yaakov, it wasn't just that Acher became an Apikoros. Tosfos brings from Yerushalmi that, for example, well, we'll have a little bit of it in the, over here in Al Gemara soon, but that when he would do his best to discourage Talmidim from learning Torah. Either, as the Gemara is going to say, as Al Gemara is going to say later on, he would kill them, or he would do his best to talk them out of learning Torah and tell them that it's not important and they should be going and doing something else. And actually, the Yerushalmi goes on to say, Tosfos doesn't even quote it, but that during the Gzeiras HaMalchus, during the time when the Romans were persecuting the Jewish people and outlawing mitzvahs, then he helped them out and he helped rat out Yidden who were keeping mitzvahs, even to the extent it says that you'd have people who were being forced to work on Shabbos and they would try to minimize it by, for example, Shnayim Shasu'ur, having two of them do a malacha together or something, and Acher, being that he had been a Talmid Chacham, and of course knows the relevant halachas, would tell on them to the Romans and then realize what they're doing, tell on them, and the Romans would force them to actually do malacha on a Daraisa level. So these are the kind of horrible things that Acher was doing now as, after he had gone off the derech. Al Gemara is not really focusing on that though. So the Gemara starts off, again, about the middle of the Amud, line against Fugla. Shal Acher es Reb Meir la'achar sheyotza v'tar v'sra. Now, after Acher had gone off the derech, then he one time asked Reb Meir, as we're going to see in the continuation of the Gemara, good morning, Aaron, Reb Meir remained Acher's Talmud even after he went bad, and we'll talk about on other days how he was able to do that. So now Acher one time asked him, he says, what does this pasuk mean? With one thing opposite the other Hashem made. So the mayor tells him it means exactly that. Everything that Hashem created in the world, he created something opposite, he created something parallel to it. For example, not really opposite, but parallel. Bara horim, bara gvois. So for example, Hashem created mountains and he created hills. Bara yamim, bara nahoris. He created seas and he created rivers. So Acher told him, now even though Acher had gone off the derech, he still remembered all his Torah and he still was a tremendous Talmid Chacham after all. So he says, Rabbi Akiva Rabach loy omakach. You should know, Rabbi Meir, that your Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva, didn't used to learn like that. Ella, bara tzaddikim, bara rishoyim, bara ganedim, bara gehenim. It means not just in the Gashmiistic world that Hashem created mountains and hills and so forth. It means in the Ruchniistic world, Hashem created tzaddikim and created rishoyim. Now there, we have the famous thing, Alter Rebbe says on the first page of Tanya, well, tzaddik or rosha like ha'omad, Hashem doesn't predetermine whether a person is a tzaddik or a rosha. What it means is, in other words, that Hashem created, the fact is, they're all going to be tzaddikim and they're all going to be rishoyim in the world without specifying which one is going to be which. But and Hashem created a Gan Eden and Gehenim. Kol echad ve'echad yesh le'beis chalakim. So every person when he first is born has two portions, echad ve'Gan Eden ve'echad ve'Gehenim, one in Gan Eden, one in Gehenim, depending on how he acts during his lifetime. Therefore, Zocha Tzaddik, so if the Tzaddik is Zocha, so if a person ends up becoming a Tzaddik, and therefore he gains himself his place in Gan Eden, not of Chelkoi, v'chelet chaveri v'Gan Eden. Not only does he take, does he get his own portion in Gan Eden, but he also gets somebody else's portion who would have gotten Gan Eden, but then forfeited it because of his Averis. So the Tzaddik gets a double portion. And one reason for it is because the tzaddik, in fact, is, you know, we're not just talking about a tzaddik, for example, like Noach, who didn't care about the people of his generation. We're talking about a tzaddik who had an influence on other people, so therefore he deserves that extra portion. And Nischai of Rosha, and on the other hand, when the Rosha is guilty of doing Averis, not a chelk of a chaver of Gehenim. He takes not only his own portion, but somebody else's portion, the portion of somebody else, a tzaddik, who would have had a portion in Gan Eden had he not been a tzaddik, had he been a Rosha. Now the Rosha ends up getting it instead. Now, why was he mentioning this point? What was Acher's agenda? Maharsha explains that Acher's agenda in quoting this explanation of Rabbi Akiva is he was trying to tell Rabbi Meir later on. We're going to see soon. Rabbi Meir was trying to get Acher to do tshuva. So Acher tells him, you see from this the way that Rabbi Akiva explained it that a person has either Olam either Gan Eden or Gehenna. So therefore, I've lost my place in Gan Eden already, because like we said yesterday, all of his chosim were wiped out, and he heard the bas kol shuvu vanim shuvim chutz me'acher. So therefore, he says, I may as well live it up in Olam Haza. If I lost my Olam Haza anyway, fine, I'll get a double portion in Gehenna. At this point, what do I care? So that was his argument. Omer of Mesharshi of Maikra, and when Mesharshi says, where are psukim that express this idea, that the tzaddik gets his own portion and somebody else's who had forfeited their portion, and the Rosha gets not only his portion, but somebody else's who didn't need their portion in Gehenim. So Gavit Tzaddikim Ksiv, when it comes to Tzaddikim, you have a pasuk, Lochin Ba'artzam Mishne Yiroshu. Therefore, they will inherit a double portion in their land. Many times in Tanakh, when it speaks about the land, it means Olam Haba. We have, for example, Ba'amach Kulam Tzadikim Lo'olam Yirshu Oretz. So this one also means that, so therefore it means they're going to get a double portion. Gabi Rishoyim, Steve, and by Rishoyim, you also have an expression of double. Umishnah Shivorin Shavrein, break them with a double breaking. So the idea being that they get a double breaking, a double portion of Gehenim, And meaning, in other words, again, the one they get for themselves, and the one that they would have gotten, the one that somebody else would have gotten if they had also been a Rosha. So Acher brought this up. Acher brought up this point and brought this explanation of Rabbi Akiva in order to like claim an excuse for himself. I don't have to do tshuva because look, I already lost my place in Olam Haba anyway. I may as well live it up in this world. Similarly, after Acher had gone off into bad ways, had gone off the derech, another time he asked Reb Meir, "My dichtiv, what does a pasuk mean? Lo ya'achena zahav u'schoichis, gold or glass is not comparable to the wisdom of the Torah. U'smurosa klifaz, and you can't exchange the Torah for vessels of paz, which is a very high quality gold. So why is the Torah being compared to gold and to glass? Gold, I understand, it's precious, but why doubt the glass? On the law, so the mayor tells him, it refers to exactly that, words of Torah, and why are we comparing them to both gold and glass? It's as hard to get them as, and expensive to get them as it is to get golden kalim. You have to put a lot of effort into it. And like kalim paz. The notion la'abdim, to place chuchis, but they're as easy to be lost as vessels of glass. Glass is very easily breakable. So the same thing, in other words, that a person drops a glass keli, and that's the end of it. The same way a person drops Torah and stops learning it, then it's very difficult to reacquire it, to get it back. And again, Omer Loi, and again, Acher tells Reb Meir, Reb Akiva Rab Choloi Amakach, Reb Akiva, your Rebbe didn't used to say that. Ella, rather, he used to explain, Ma Klei Zahav Klei Zchukis, just like kalim of gold and of glass, afapisha nishkuru yeshlam takana, even if they break, there is a way of fixing them. The gold can be melted down. The gold can be melted down. The glass also, you can take the fragments and melt them down again and have a new glass keli. So the same way, af tamid chacham, af bishas sorach, yeshlay takana. The same way, the tamid chacham, even though he's gone bad, there's still a way of fixing him up. You can still have back a new glass keli. So you yourself are telling me then that divrei Torah are like glass and yesh lahem takana. So do tshuva. So Acher told him no. No, because I already heard from behind the paragud, from behind the curtain, everybody tshuva bonim shrevim. Everybody can do tshuva. Chutz me Acher, except for Acher, except for me. So my tshuva is not going to be accepted. So I'm not going to bother. Again, this was why he brought up this point, was in order to stress that idea that I don't feel that that I'm told that I can't do tshuva. Although, as we talked about yesterday, that itself was meant as a nisoyan for him. Is he going to listen when the Bala Bayis tells him to say, or is he going to say not? I still am going to push my way through and do tshuva. Unfortunately, he did not take that opportunity. Another story involving Acher with Reb Meir, Tana Rabbanan, Maisa ba'Acher show you roich balasus b'Shabbos. It happened once that Acher was riding on a horse on Shabbos, which is of course also the Rabbanan. V'hoi Reb Meir mahalach Acher of Lumud tournament piv. Reb Meir still wanted to learn Torah from him, as we're going to talk about on Omer Beis, why Reb Meir did that. Well, he can't ride on a horse with him on Shabbos, so he's walking behind him. Amaloi, at one point, Acher tells him, Meir chazor l'acherecha, Meir, turn around, shekvashi arti v'ikbe susi, I've already been working out and estimating, based on the hooves of my horse, how far it's walked, adkan tchum Shabbos, that up till here is the tchum Shabbos. So I'm gonna go further, but you don't wanna be mechal Shabbos, so you turn back. And Marsha explains that he's saying this almost like to make fun of the Meir, that not only to make fun of Shabbos, really. Not only am I riding a horse on Shabbos, but I can actually use the horse as an odometer, as the horse's feet, as an odometer to see how far I've gone. Amalei, so the mayor tells him, Afatoch chazor b'chol, you're telling me turn around. You also turn around, make yourself back to what you were. Amalei, and again, Acher tells him, V'loik farim arti l'chok farshabaitim acheri apagud shuvu bonim shevim chutz me'acher. Didn't I already tell you what I heard from behind the curtain that everybody can do tshuva except for Acher? Well, the mayor wasn't going to take no for an answer. Takhle, he grabbed a hold of him, Ayla the Beis Medrash, and brought him into the Beis Medrash. Let's get you to do tshuva once and for all. Amalei l'yinuka psoik l'psokach. So Acher turns to a kid standing over there and tells him, Tell me the pasuk you just learned in Cheder. Amalei, and the kid tells him a pasuk. Ein shalom amar Hashem l'rishoyim. Hashem says there's no peace for the rishoyim. Makes it sound like, in other words, that yeah, bashkacha pratis Hashem made that's the pasuk the kid learned, and we know that that's like a nevuah ktana. So it sounds like Acher is being told pretty straight out, there's no peace for you. You're a rasha. You're hopeless. I remember Meir didn't give up. I will be knishtachriti. He brought him into another base medrash. And again, he asked the kid there to tell him over a pasuk that they learned. And the kid quotes him a pasuk from Yirmiya, where we're talking about the averus that the Jewish people have done. Kim techabsi ban neser, even if you wash yourself with neser, which is a kind of detergent, v'sabilach boris, even if you get yourself a lot of soap, nichtam avonich lefanai, your averus have caused a stain in front of me. Again, it sounds like Pasuk is saying pretty clearly, there's no chance of tshuva for you. It's hopeless. I little bit knishtach riti. The mayor took him to another base medrash. Amalei the yinuka psoik lipsukach. The third time he tells a kid, tell me your pasuk. Amalei, and he quotes it, the kid quotes him another pasuk from Yirmiya. Va'at shodud, you, the one who's been robbed, in context of talking about the Jewish people who were exiled and robbed and whatever by the goyim. This is matasi. What are you going to do? Kisir b'shishoni. Even if you wear scarlet, which is expensive fabric, kisadi adizahav, even if you wear golden ornaments, kisikri bapuchei nayich, even if you beautify your eyes with puch, which is eyeshadow, lashov tisiapi v'gomer, you're beautifying yourself and then putting on makeup for nothing, it's not going to help you. Also, it sounds like saying that no matter what you do, your tshuva is not going to help you. So every time it's a positive. Now this is also part of the nisayon that Acher is being given. Is he gonna say, you know what, this is a sign from Shemayim, my tshuva is not gonna be accepted, that's that. So then, and he give up, or is he gonna say, nevertheless, I'm still, you know, okay, it shows that Hashem is not giving me an opportunity to do tshuva, but I'm gonna try anyway. Marsha explains the three psukim, by the way. The first one is he walks into this medrash. What the person walks into this medrash, the first thing, you tell him shalom. So the pasuk was, ein shalom, amar alakai l'rashoyim. The second one was about tshuva, that he's being told that there's no chance of tshuva for you. And the third one about the jewelry and the ornaments represents Torah, that even the schos of his Torah is not going to help him. So every pasuk that he's hearing is a message for him that just forget about it, give up. But of course he shouldn't have given up. And Rav Meir didn't give up. Ayla Beit Knishtach Riti took him to another shul. And he took him to 13 different shuls around town. And all of them were telling him psukim along those lines. Now, each one of them, their pasuk, ended up being something about how Hashem is not going to accept this tshuva or whatever. They finally came to the last one, and Acher tells him, tell me your pasuk. And the kid quoted him, a pasuk from Tillim, V'lo Rosha Omer Lekim, Hashem says to the Rosha, Malachol Asapu Chukai, the Gomer, what are you doing even learning my, even telling over my Chukim, and talking in my Torah, when you're a Rosha? And how Hu Yenuka have him a Gamgam Belishne, that child was, he was stuttering, or he was mumbling, he wasn't able to pronounce the words clearly, Ishtamak Mada Omele V'la Elisha Omer Lekim. So the word V'la Rosha came out sounding almost as though it said Vila Elisha. So now Elisha is Elisha ben Avuya Acher. So now he was really upset. So what happened? Ikadami Sakina have a Bahadeva Kare. One version is that Acher had a knife with him and he cut him up. Vishadri the place of Eknishti and sent the pieces of him to these 13 different shuls that he had just been in. Although Ben Yehoyada says it doesn't mean he cut up a kid. What is your mayor going to stand over there and see him doing that? It means he cut up the Sefer Torah, or the Sefer, whatever that the kid was learning from. And I guess maybe the mayor wasn't able to prevent it. But in any case, it shows that Acher was really upset about it, even though he himself is saying, I can't do tshuva, I give up or whatever, but still to be told that. Flat out by a kid. It really upset him. So he cut up the child or the sefer, as the case may be. So that's one version. If ikadamri, another version is he didn't actually cut up, but Omar, he says, I havoi biyodi sakina. If I had a knife with me, have a karinolay, then I would have chopped him up, or I would have chopped up the sefer. Showing, in other words, that he still did have a feeling for this. He wanted to do tshuva, but at least in some subconscious level, he wanted to do tshuva. And now when he's being told flat out by this kid, and the kid is actually almost like mispronouncing the pasuk in order to go against him, then he was very angry about that. Well, eventually, tinoch nafshi de Acher, when Acher eventually passed away, Amri, they said in Shemayim, what are we supposed to do with him? Loim meidan lidayne, we can't judge him and send him to Gehenna. After all, he has the schos of his Torah. V'loi la'alma de'osi leisi, and he can't come into Olam Haba either, because what is he belonging over there? Loim meidan lidayne, we can't judge him and put him in Olam, we can't judge him and put him in Gan Eden. Mishum da'osik baraisa, because he learned Torah, and that schos protects him from Gehenna, as we're going to learn at the end of the Masechta. The loyal alma de osilesi, but he can't come into Gan Eden either. And mishum dechota, because he sinned so badly, so he's stuck. Omar Rav Meir, but Rav Meir said, I'm not going to tolerate that. Mutav de bidaine velesi la alma de osi. Just the opposite. Go. It's better that based in Shomayla should judge him and put him in Gehenim, and at least eventually that way he'll be able to come into Olam Haba. In effect, in other words, the Beis Din Shamayla is saying, you know, we're stuck because the schus of his Torah is protecting him from Gehenim, and the lack of his Mais and Tovim is preventing him from going into Gan Eden. So the mayor is telling them, Adrabah, flip that argument on its head. The fact that he had Averus put him in Gehenim. The fact that he learned Torah should eventually allow him to be brought into Gan Eden. So the mayor says, I can't have my Rebbe stuck like that. At least let him go and then go in Gehenim for a spell. Must I almost ba'ala oshem mikivre? When will it be that I will die, then I will make smoke come out of his grave? In other words, I will accomplish in the Beis Din Shamayla that he gets into Gehenna, and you'll see a visible proof of it because smoke will start coming out of his grave. There's many Rishoyim in the world who end up in Gehenna and smoke doesn't come out of their grave, but here the mayor is saying, I'm going to show a visible proof to everybody that it's actually happening. And sure enough, Hinoch Nafshi, the mayor, sold it Kotzer Mekibre, the Acher. Sure enough, when the mayor passed away, smoke started coming out of Acher's grave. And it remained like that for a long time. Eventually, comes a couple of generations later, Amr of Yechanan, finally Rav Yechanan says, Gvurta l'mikle rabbi, what is it, a great, what is it, a powerful thing? Is your mayor showing his power by that, that he burnt his Rebbe? Like, is that all he could do for him, is get him into Gehenna? Chad Haba Ben Nonar of Rav Yechanan says, listen, there was one single Tamar Chacham among us, who went off the Gera, and what, all of we Tamar Chachamim, can't get together and use our combined schusim to free him? So Rav Yechanan says, I'm taking responsibility for him. If I grab Acher by the hand, man mirmelon man, who is going to be able to grab him away from me? I'm taking responsibility for him. I'm seeing to it that he gets into Gan Eden. I'm not taking no for an answer. And he says, most I almost, when I pass away, I'm going to cause the smoke on his grave to go out because I'm going to arrange in the Beis Din Shamayla that he goes to Gan Eden. And sure enough, kinoch nafshi de Rav Yechanan, when Rav Yechanan passed away, posat kutra mekibre, the smoke stopped coming from his grave, showing that he had that his punishment in Gehenna was over. Mekibre d'acher. Posach alaya hu sakdona, a masbid, somebody who was giving a hesbid, like we learned about at the end of Moed Katan, started the hesbid, and he said, for Rav Yechanan, afilu shomer pesach le'omad l'panecha rabbeinu. You are Rebbe Rav Yechanan, even the guardian, even the guard by the gate of Gehenna could not stand in your way when you went there to schlep out Acher, even he couldn't stand in your way. That's how tremendous your schus was. Why did Rav Yechanan take responsibility for Acher? There's a footnote in a letter of the Rebbe that talks about this. I think we've brought up this letter of the Rebbe before in this shiur. There's a letter where the Rebbe talks about the idea that Kol Yisrael Yeshanam Chayot Lel Maba without exception, and the Chassid asked him, what about all the ones that it says in Sanhedrin that lost their place in Olam Haba, etc. So the Rebbe goes through blow by blow and shows how not so, even they have a place in Olam Haba after all. And one example, he says, somebody who's not even related to him can save him, and he gives the example here of Rabbi Yechanan Acher, and then he explains, so why did Rabbi Yechanan take responsibility? We talked about yesterday in Tosfos, that Tosfos brought from the Yerushalmi, one of the contributing factors that caused Acher to go off the derech was something that happened before he was even born, when his mother had a craving for tray for food, and they were forced to give her some of it so she doesn't become dangerously sick and miscarry her baby. So therefore, a certain part of Acher's body then was made up of that. Straight for food that became Dama Bosa Kibsare, and therefore that had an effect on him. Now, the Gemara tells us in Yuma that when Rabbi Yechanan's mother was pregnant with him, one time she had such a craving on Yom Kippur, and they went and asked Rebbe what to do, and Rebbe told them, whisper in her ear that it's Yom Kippur and see if that helps calm it down, and it did. And Rebbe said, you know what, I can see the baby she's carrying is going to end up being a tzaddik, and sure enough, it ended up being Rabbi Yechanan. So, Rabbi Yechanan thinks to himself as follows. What's going to happen when I go in front of the Beis Din Shamayla? The Beis Din Shamayla could take me and say, look, Acher, why didn't you do the same thing? You couldn't have controlled your cravings when you were in the womb like the way Rabbi Yechanan controlled his, and then it'll make that Abba Acher will be in bigger trouble than before. Instead, Rabbi Yechanan's saying just the opposite. I'm going to stand over there and be his sanegor and be his defender and not allow them to use my example in order to make him look bad. And therefore, that's why he, Davka, took responsibility for Acher and schlepped him out of Gehenna and got him into Gan Eden. Continues the Gemara. There's also an idea that's brought, by the way, that Reb Meir was quoting Torah that he learned from Acher all the time. We're going to talk about soon how he's allowed to learn from Acher when he was a Rosha, but anyway, he did. So that helped Acher to a certain extent. Rabbi Yochanan also many times in Shas quotes things that Rabbi Meir says, and many of them in turn are things that he learned from Acher. So therefore, that was the schus that helped Acher. The Gemara continues. Bitei shel Acher asked the Kamei de Rebbe. One time, Acher's daughter came to Rebbe in the next generation. Acher lived in the time, so we said before that he went together with Rabbi Akiva into the paradise. Now, so then you had during the time of the Asara Rugi Malchus, Rabbi Akiva was killed. Acher lived for some years after that. This was all in the time of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Eventually comes the next generation, comes Rebbe, and now by that time, Acher has passed away also, and his daughter was left. So she came to Rebbe, and she was poor. Omer le Rebbe Panaseni. She asked him, Rebbe, please support me. I'm poor. Omer le, so he asked her, Bas Miyat, whose daughter are you? Omer le, she said to him, Vitesho Acher ani. I'm Acher's daughter. Omer le, sir, Rebbe is very surprised. Adayin yesh mizare ba'olam. Are there really any descendants of his left in the world? Doesn't the pasuk say about the Rasha, loy nin loy, he doesn't have any children, but loy neched ba'amo, and he doesn't have any grandchildren or descendants among his people. The ain't sorid b'megurav, there's no leftover, there's no one left over where he lives. But how does it even come that a Rasha like him has descendants? Omraloy, and he was about to say, you know what, your father was such a Rasha, why should I do anything for you? Omraloy, but she says to him, Zechor l'Torosev al tizkor ma'isev. Rebbe, remember the Torah that he learned, and credit that to him. Don't remember his ma'isev, as terrible as they were, but at least he has the schus of his learning Torah. Miyad yoda esh v'sichsach ha-safsaleh shal Rebbe. Right away, a fire came down from Shemayim in response to what she said, and singed the bench that Rebbe was sitting on. That fire is the fire of Torah, showing, in other words, that she has a point. That he has the schus of his Torah after all, and don't just write them all. Bacha v'omer Rebbe, so Rebbe started crying, and he said, "Umala misganin bakach." If that kind of thing happens, even for the ones who learn Torah in a way of gnai, where their Torah ends up being a gnai for them, that they were a Talmud Chacham and then they went bad, and still their Torah is so powerful that Hashem sends a fire down from Shemayim to stick up for them, to vindicate them. How much more so for people who do Torah, who learn Torah in a praiseworthy way, who, as we learned yesterday, no Dorish, no Makayim, they learn Torah well and they practice it well, how much more so the source of Torah stands up for them. So therefore, I guess, the Gemara doesn't record the rest of the story, but I guess he arranged for her a stipend from Tzedakah. So the Gemara asks, Rav Meir heifi gomar Torah with Puma Da'achar. How was Rav Meir allowed to learn Torah from Acher in the first place, after he went bad? The pasuk says the lips of the Kohen will guard knowledge, the Sora Yavakshu Mipihu, and they will ask for Torah from his mouth. Ki Malach Hashem Tzvakesu, because he is a Malach of Hashem. What's the comparison? It means im doima harav or malach Hashem tzvakos. If the rab that you want to learn Torah from, we learned this in Moed Katan very recently. If the rab that you're going to learn Torah from is like a malach Hashem tzvakos, yivakshu Torah mipiu. Then by all means, go and learn Torah. Go and look to learn Torah from his mouth. The im lav, and if not, al yivakshu Torah mipiu. Then you don't go and try to learn Torah from him. So Acher is clearly not like a malach anymore. So he has to be a yorei. He has to be a yorei shemayim. Acher is clearly not. That explains why all of Acher's other Talmidim abandoned him. Why is Rav Meir sticking with him? The answer is Omer Shlokish. Rav Meir kra ashkach b'darish. Rav Meir found the pasuk that he was able to darshin to show that no, you are actually allowed to learn from such a person, even though he's mushkas, even though he's acting wrongly. Nevertheless, you still would be allowed to learn Torah from him. Namely, the pasuk says hat oznecha. Bend your ear, ushma divrei chachamim, listen to the words of the chachamim, v'libcha toshes b'dayti, and your heart you should put towards my da'at. Now, we're talking about listening to the chachamim. So the da'itom le'nemer, it doesn't say listen to their da'at, it doesn't say listen to their da'at, elo l'dayti, but rather to my da'at. In other words, Shlomo is telling the Talmud, bend your ear to listen to them, to listen to what they have to say, but nevertheless, make sure you don't follow their da'at. Make sure that you're still sticking to Hashem's das. So that's exactly what Rav Meir was doing. He's learning Torah from Acher, but he's not allowing himself to be affected by Rav Meir, by Acher's rishus and his das, in short. And we said before, it started with his wrong impressions of Elikus, that he thinks, Chas v'Shalom, that they're two gods or something. So the mayor knew not to pay the slightest attention to that, only to the Torah that he was able to separate the Torah from the bad days. Rav Chanina Amar Mehalcha, Rav Chanina quotes a different pasuk that a mayor darshan for this pasuk. Shim Ivas, listen, daughter, referring to the time of Chacham, who wants to learn Torah, or to Eva Hafi Oznich, see what's going on, incline your ear to listen to what your Rebbe says, v'shich the amich uvei savich, and forget your nation and the family of your father, representing, in other words, also, in other words, so listen to the words of Torah that he's saying, and forget all about the Maisim Royim that he's doing. Don't learn from them. So therefore, so the mayor was able to use those psukim as a basis to say that he can learn from Acher. Well, it says, Kashu Kroy Adodi. So then we have a contradiction between the psukim. So are you allowed to learn? Does the Rebbe have to be Kamalach Hashem Tzvakos, or do we have from these psukim that not? And the answer is, like Kasha, Habagodol Habakotan. It depends whether you're talking about a greater person who knows to be careful to be able to separate the good from the bad, like the mayor, so he can learn from Acher, as opposed to a cotton, a lesser person who's learning from, who wants to learn, so he's not going to be able to know, to be able to tell apart the good from the bad, so therefore he can only learn from somebody who's like Malach Hashem Tzvakas. And thus we have, Tosfos refers to something that we had in Moed Cotton a couple of weeks ago, where there was a Talmid Chacham, who we said was a great, he knew a lot of Torah, and the other Chachamim needed to ask him questions all the time, but unfortunately, Sanu Shimone, there were bad rumors going around him that he's involved in Znus or whatever, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda, we said over there, ended up putting him in Chayim because the people who were going to learn. So Tosfos says either the people who were going to learn from him were Ketanim, and therefore as we're saying in the Gemara over here, we couldn't have that, or maybe even they were Gdolim, but because already the difference is there that Rabbi Yehuda was looking to put him in Chayim, the fact is he deserved Chayim for the way he was acting, so therefore in that case we could prevent even Gdolim from learning from him. The poskim don't actually bring this distinction between gadol and katan, and the shach says, listen, come on, are any of us nowadays gdolim to be able to say that we're able to do such a thing? No, such things are off limits. When you have, sometimes you have, for example, the Rambam writes that he learned the works of Aristotle and other Greek philosophers in order to be able to know, to be able to write Moreh Nevuchim and be able to help Jews who have wandered away from Yiddishkeit, who don't understand how Yiddishkeit fits with the science of their time. So that's an exceptional kind of thing where he could do that, where he could do like we're saying the mayor did over here and learn from people who are unsuitable. But a regular person should not dare do that because he's likely to take in the bad together with the good. So the Gemara continues, Ki also Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, Omar, he said, Amri B'mar Rava, they say in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, what was Rav Meir like? Rav Meir Ochel Tachla, it's like when Rav Meir ate a date, the Shada Shichla Labara, and he threw out the pit. So the same way, in other words, Rameo learned Torah from Acher, but he was very careful to throw away the pit, and in other words, not learn anything bad, not to learn anything bad from Acher. And vice versa, Dorosh Rameir, Dorosh Rova, my dichtiv of Ginas Eges Yeradi. What does it mean? A pasuk says, Hashem says, I went down to the garden of nuts, Liros v'ibei hanochal, to see the new fruit that's growing over there near the stream. So, and then the pasuk is talking about that Hashem is saying, I'm going down to see how the Talmid Chachamim are developing. Lama nimshalu Talmid Chachamim la'egos. So why are Talmid Chachamim compared to a nut, to a walnut? Loy malachit, come to tell you, ma egos zeh, just like a nut. Even if it's filthy with mud and with soya, ein mashe b'seichen nimas, but the nut meat inside it is not affected because it's protected by the shell, and it's still nothing went wrong with it. You can still eat it. Af tamid chacham, af isha sorach, the same way. Tamid chacham, even though he went bad like Acher, ein toros in him eses, his Torah doesn't become rejected. And if you have somebody like Rav Meir who's able to successfully break open that shell and get the nut meat inside, Then he can do that. So you have here the metaphor of a date where you eat the outside and you throw away the pit, and then you have the metaphor of a nut And soon the Gemara is going to say also of a rimon, of a pomegranate, where you throw away the outside and you eat the inside. So in other words, the point is, Maharsha says, with Acher, there were two things wrong. There was something wrong on the inside, namely the heretical ideas that he had about there being two gods or whatever. And then there was what was bad on the outside, namely the Averis that he did. Like we said yesterday, involving a Zoyna and then picking plants on Shabbos, etc. So the Meir knew how to separate out both of those aspects and be able to get at the food of Torah that Acher still had. But again, that's not meant for the average person to do, because there's too much danger that you're going to wind up with some of the peel or some of the pit, to use the different metaphors, in your Torah, and then that damages it. So the Gemara tells, Ashtachei Rabba Bar Shila Leliyo, one time Rabba Bar Shila met up with Eliyo Anavi, Omalei Maika Obed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he asked him, what is Hashem doing right now? So Eliyahu tells him, Hashem is now saying over, teaching the Torah in the names of all the Chachamim, but he's not saying anything in the name of Reb Meir, because Hashem is, so to speak, upset with Reb Meir that he learned from Acher, that even though, we're saying over here that Hashem is taking the view that a Meir had no business learning from Acher, so Hashem is, so to speak, ignoring his Torah. So Rabbi Bar Shila says, "Amai, what's the problem? What does Hashem have a problem with your mayor? Because he learned Torah from Acher. Amai, why? And Eliyahu tells him, because he learned Torah from Acher. So Rabbi Bar Shila says, so what's the problem? Why should Hashem reject Reb Meir's Torah for that? Reb Meir rimoin motza toichay ocho klipase zorak. Reb Meir had found a pomegranate. He threw out he ate the inside, the seeds inside it, and he threw out the peel. So the same way, in other words, so the same way, Reb Meir knew, as we just said, how to separate out Acher's Torah from any trace of his evil, and therefore Reb Meir should be on just like the other Chachamim, and Hashem should teach Torah in his name. Omalei, so Eliyahu tells him, you know what, you're right. Hashem accepted your argument now that you spoke up in defense of Reb Meir. Now Hashem is saying, now I can hear from what's going on in Shemayim, in the Yeshiva Shemayla, that Hashem is now saying something over in Reb Meir's name, because you were Malamed Schus on him. And Hashem is saying, Meir Bni Omer, Hashem is saying, my son Meir says, something that we find in a Mishnah in Sanhedrin, Vizman Sha'odim Mitzar, when a person is in pain, and we mean even a Rosha who's in pain and gets punished, the context of the Mishnah is talking about over there, when a person is executed by Beis Din for serious Averis, Shechina Ma Loshen Ameris, what expression does the Shechina use to express how pained and distressed Hashem is by that? Ameris, it says, Kolani Meroshi, Kolani Mizroi. I am lighter than my head. I am lighter than my arm. So Rashi brings from the Gemara over there a couple of different explanations what it means exactly, but the gist of it is that Hashem is saying, so to speak, the Gemara explains that Kalani comes from a word means kal lace. I'm not light. I'm heavy. In other words, like, so to speak, my head and my arm feel heavy, like when a person has a headache and when his arm aches. So Hashem is saying that even when Rishoyim have to suffer, that I feel it, and it makes my kavyocho, my heart and my arm feel heavy. And Reb Meir continues, Im kena, im kacha, kodesh baruch hu mitzar, al domen shor Rishoyim, if Hashem is so distressed when Rishoyim are killed, avachoyim al domen shor tzadikim shenishbach, how much more so that Hashem is distressed when a tzadik is killed. So therefore, in other words, so why did Hashem pick Dafka, that teaching of Reb Meir, to teach at that point when we were Malamed Schus on Rabbi Bar Shila was Malamed Schus on him? So Maharsha says, because, in other words, it shows, yes, Hashem is pained about the fact of what happened to Acher, because we see that Hashem is pained even when a Rosha gets his punishment. So therefore, Hashem picked Dafka that, now that Reb Meir had been defended by Rabbi Bar Shila, that Hashem picked Dafka that teaching of Reb Meir to show that even though Reb Meir had learned from Acher, nevertheless, even Hashem himself, Kav Yochol, is distressed over what happened to Acher. The Gemara continues, Ashkechei Shmuel, Rav Yehuda, the Toli, the Ibrid, the Dasha. One time Shmuel found Rav Yehuda, his Talmud, was leaning against the bolt of the door of the Bismedrish for Pashtus, the Kabachi, and Rav Yehuda was crying. Amale, so as a Shmuel asked him, my kabachas, he says then Shinina, sharp one, which was Shmuel's pet name for him, my kabachas, what are you crying about? Amale, so Rabbi Yehuda says, Mi zutra my dechtibu rabbanon, is it a small thing this that it says about the chachamim? Aye sofer, where is the sofer, that literally means the scribe? Aye shoytel, where is the one who weighs? Aye sofer as amigdolim, where is the one who counts the towers? In context, in the pasuk, it means that eventually, when the hostile enemies of the Jewish people are defeated, then the Jewish people are going to be so amazed how these powerful goyim were defeated. Where's the sofer who used to write down the king's decrees? Where's the shokel who used to weigh things on behalf of the government? Where's the sofer? Where did all these powerful goyish officials who used to harass us? Where did they disappear? It's so amazing what Hashem did for us. But the Gemara is doubting that it refers to the chachamim. And specifically, it refers to the Chachamim who went bad. It refers to Talmid Chachamim who went bad like Acher. Specifically, in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, in Perek Chet, it explains that it refers to Doeg and Achitofel in the times of David HaMelech, who even though they were tremendously knowledgeable in Torah, but they were severely lacking in Yiras Shemayim, and we know they hated and persecuted David, and they did it, as the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, they lost their place in Olam Haba. Sort of Yehuda is saying, I'm crying over them. You think what tremendous Talmid Chachamim they were, and yet look how they went bad. So the phrases mean aye sofer, where is the sofer? Means show you soferim called otzias shebat Torah. They knew the whole Torah inside out. They could count all the letters in the Torah and be able to douse in what they're doing over there. Aye shokel, when it says where is the weigher, means shahoyu shokelim kalim v'chamurim shebat Torah. They were able to weigh the kal v'chomers in the Torah to be able to know, to be able to douse in the kal v'chomers, which is like you have a balance scale and one thing is lighter and one thing is heavier, and they were able to weigh that. In Sanhedrin, where it brings this Gemara also, in Perek Chelet, Marashah says it's not just that they knew how to make a Kavachomer, anybody can make a Kavachomer, means they also knew how to weigh the relative merits of one Kavachomer against the other. Many times the Gemara will tell us, we can use a Kavachomer to learn such a din, and then the Gemara will say, wait, but I have something to slog up that Kavachomer. And sometimes the Gemara will even say, yeah, but I have an opposite Kavachomer, or we can turn things around. What you thought is the Kal is really the Chomer, and vice versa, so they were Talmid Chachamim of such a great caliber that they knew how to weigh all those conflicting pieces of information and be able to arrive and be able to figure out which Kal V'Chomer is more logically compelling. So that's Ayesh Shoytel. And when it says Ayesh Sofer Samigdolim, where are the ones who count the towers? It means Shoyeshon Shlosh Meis Alochus V'Migdol HaPereach Ba'Aver. Just on the topic of Migdol HaPereach Ba'Aver, a tower or a tent, a tower or a closet that flies in the air, they knew 300 halachas about it. What does that mean? Rashi brings several explanations. One is that they were able to darshan about why the lamed sticks up above all the other letters. The lamed is the only letter that has a piece that sticks up. They were able to darshan 300 different drushas about why that is. In Sanhedrin, Rashi says a little bit differently, that head of the lamed bends downward slightly. They were able to, the edge of it bends downward slightly. You have a little tag over there. They were able to teach 300 reasons why that's so. 300 halachas and 300 reasons why that's so. That's one explanation. Rather, but Migdol HaPasa'arbo means a cabinet or a closet, like you have in the Mishnah, it's Shlosha Trisenhein, Bishal Migdol Tahora Miklum, we have a base for a cupboard, so therefore it means a cupboard that's sitting out in the open air, and you have a halachas in the Sechta Ohalos when it blocks Tumah from going to things inside it, when if there's Tumah inside it, where the Tumah goes, etc. So they knew 300 halachas about that. Another explanation that's brought in Sanhedrin that some of the Rishonim bring is that we're talking about where, for example, if a person, Rashi brings it over there actually, that we know the Chachamim had to be experts, among other things, in Kishuf, because if a person is brought in front of Beis Din to be judged on a charge of Kishuf, they had to know whether in fact he's guilty of it, so they knew 300 things, Rashi says over there, to know how to make a tower or a cabinet or whatever fly through the air using Kishuf. Not that they would practice it, of course, but that they knew how to do it. So according to all the explanations, we're talking about that these were very, very high caliber Talmid Chachamim. And the Omer of Ami, and Rav Ami says in that connection, Tlas Meir Boi, Bo, Doi Gracha Teufel, the Migdala Perea Father. As a matter of fact, Doi Ganachi Teufel, in their time, were able to ask 300 good questions about this concept of Migdala Perea Father. And yet, Uchnan, yet we learn in the Mishnah and Sanhedrin, Gimel Malachim Va'abah Had Yotis, Ein Lam Chelik on Mabah, there's three kings and four commoners, and among the commoners include Doeg and Akitokel, who have no place in the Mabah. So Rabbi Yehuda says, I'm crying about that. Anan, Matevi Alon, what's going to be with us? Our Torah apparently is not going to protect us from becoming Rishoyim. What do we do? How do we make sure that we don't go the wrong way like they did? And by the way, worth pointing out, the Gemara in Nida tells us that the Rabbi Yehuda had such an unusual amount of yiras chet. The Gemara tells us over there that he wouldn't even have the kind of tivus that normal people would. And the Gemara says over there that Shmuel, his Rebbe, said, I'm an ein zeh yelud isha. Like, this person can't be somebody who was born from a woman, like a normal person, because he's so far beyond that in his yiras shemayim. And yet, the same Rabbi Yehuda is worried about over here, that what happens if we lose our Yiras Shemayim, and what happens if we end up going bad, like Doeg and Achitofel and Acher. Because that's a Yiras Shemayim is concerned about that, or the Yiras Chet is concerned about that all the time. So therefore he says, that's why I'm crying. On the lay, so Shmuel tells him, Shinin, a sharp one, Tina Hoistabalibam. There was a tina, literally tina means a mud, but it means, in other words, like there was a problem in them to begin with, in their heart to begin with. In other words, they started out as being not Yorei Shemayim. They were, to begin with, not tzaddikim. So to begin with, they had Hirhurei Aveira, and therefore their Torah didn't protect them. With Doeg and Achitofel. So therefore, he's telling you, Rabbi Yehuda, in effect, you have less to worry about. Of course, you have to still be careful. But you're worried about that every time a Chacham could end up like Doeg and Achitofel. No, they started out as Rishoyim, and therefore eventually it came out on the outside. But you're not in that category. So the Gemara asks, Acher Mai. So what did Acher do to begin with? Where did he go wrong in the first place? The Gemara says, Zemer Yevoni le Potif Mipume. He was constantly singing Greek songs. So Rashi says the problem is not so much the Greekness of the song, the problem is it was after the Churban and he shouldn't be singing at all. On the other hand, Marshall says that no, what it means is, particularly because these were Greek, Goyish songs, they included in them ideas of Minos, and therefore that eventually penetrated him and he ended up tackle becoming a Min. It goes to show the power that music has over a person. And this is why a person has to be careful to listen to kosher music and not the opposite, because we see that Acher was badly affected by the music and the messages that came with the music that he heard and that he sang. And the Gemara continues, Omru, all about Acher. They said about Acher another thing that we see, that there was a flaw in him. The Shoyasha Omid Beveis HaMedrash, when he would stand up, having learned in the Beveis HaMedrash, Harbis Sifrei Minim Noshur Mecheko, many books of Minim would fall out of his lap. So in other words, we see that even before he went bad, even when he's still in the Beveis HaMedrash, he's still secretly reading Goyisha books and books of Minim, and therefore, again, that affected his thinking, and eventually when the crisis happened with our Bar Nichnas of Apardis, and by the way, Tosfos previously on Amud Aleph points out from various other Gemaras that there were other things as well. Achav saw, the Gemara tells us at the end of Chulin, he saw one time a boy going up to do Shiluach HaKan because his father told him to get, so he's doing two mitzvahs that get him Arichus Yomim, and then he fell and died, and Acher figured in that case it means there's no reward for mitzvahs, and he saw the tongue of Rav Chutzpah Samatrogamon or Rav Yehuda HaNachton being dragged around in the mud by pigs after he'd been killed by the Romans, and he said in that case then it means that Hashem doesn't run the world, Chas V'Shalom. So all these kinds of things contributed to make Acher what he became, but was saying that even before that, he'd been singing songs that included Minos, and he'd been reading books that included Minos, and therefore that had a bad effect on him. These kinds of things are penetrating into his mind, and eventually when the crisis hit, then it caused him to go bad. So the Gemara continues, Shom Nimus Hagaudi et Reb Meir, Nimus, that was his name, Hagaudi means the weaver, asked Reb Meir, he used a metaphor, which he being a weaver, he used a metaphor involving cloth and dyeing it. He asks him, Kol amar denochis v'yoda solik, does all wool that goes into the vat to be dyed, does it get dyed properly? The nimshal being, When you go and soak yourself in Torah, it's like taking wool and putting it into the vat to dye it a different color. Does it in fact help? Does it in fact penetrate them and protect them from doing Aveiros or not? It seems like you have somebody, for example, it seems you have somebody like Acher, where not, even though he learned Torah, he still became a Rosha. Or Rashi says another explanation that it means, does everybody who goes into Gehenna eventually come out of there cleaned up of their Aveiros or not? Omalei, so the mayor answers him, Kol manda, continuing the metaphor, Kol manda habanoki agav ime, any wool that was clean when it was on its mother, meaning when it was shorn off the sheep, when it was clean, solid, then it will die properly. It'll get dyed, it'll absorb the color properly. Called the loy havanoki agav ime, but if it wasn't clean, loy solid, then the dye is not going to stick to it. So the nimshal being, in other words, that a person needs to be clean, their mind needs to be clean of these kinds of things, the Zemer Yevani and the Sifrei Minim and whatever. And then the Torah will penetrate them and have an effect on them. If not, then unfortunately they're going to end up like Acher or like Doeg and Acher Teufel, and they're going to wind up, they're not absorbing the Torah is not going to have the effect on them that it should. Or according to Rashi's second explanation, the idea is that wool that's clean, you will get dyed properly. So meaning, in other words, if a person has tzchusim, then yes, he'll come out of Gehenna. If he doesn't have any tzchusim, then what are we going to be able to do with him? So in other words, again, the idea is that the person needs to have not just Torah, but also mice and tovim, and then he'll be able to, and then the dying will have, and the learning Torah will have an effect. So now we're done with Acher. Now we're getting back to, we said the original story was Abal Nichnas Lepargis. We talked about what happened with Ben Azai, well, we didn't really get into the detail of what happened with Ben Zoma. We said, Ben Azai, we said he passed away. Ben Zoma, we said, unfortunately lost his mind. And Acher, we just talked about at great length. Now the fourth one was, we said, Rabbi Akiva, Oliver Shalom, the Yorad Bashalom. Rabbi Akiva went up there in peace and came down in peace. But Oliver, Kosev Omer, the Pasuk says on him, Moshcheni, the Jewish people say to Hashem, draw me towards you, Acharecha Narutza, and we will run after you. So meaning, in other words, Marashah says, the point of that is that Rabbi Akiva knew to go only so far and not further. He won't go beyond what his seichel is able to understand. Or like we, so Moshcheni means like he pulled back at that point and didn't try to go, unlike the other three who tried to go beyond what they were capable of, and therefore they ended up misunderstanding what they saw and it caused them to die or go crazy or become an apikoros. Rabbi Akiva knew to limit himself to what he should. And in terms of chassidus, like we talked about before, he had rotzei for the purpose of shoiv rather than the other three had rotzei without shoiv. And the Gemara continues, after Rabbi Akiva bichu malacha ashoros l'doichvoi, Rabbi Akiva, the malachim were also ready to push him out. That is, there's a limit that he shouldn't be able to go out the shalom. Omer lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but Hashem tells the malachim, hanichu l'zokan zeh, leave this old Talmid Chacham alone, sh'roi l'shtamash b'kvoidi, he deserves, he's fitting to use my kavod, we said at the beginning of the sugya, that they had used the name of Hashem to go up to Shemayim. So the Malachim are saying, how could he use the name of Hashem for that purpose? We have to punish him for that. We have to whatever. And Hashem tells them, no. He knows how to use Hashem's name properly, and therefore leave him alone. He did the right thing. So the Gemara says, my Dorash, what did Rabbi Akiva Darshan when he went up to the Paradis? What did he keep in mind in order not to look beyond where he should to realize at what point he should stop? So Amar Rabbi Abachana, Amar Rabbi Yechanan. The pasuk says, "Va'asa me'rivavas kodesh." The va'asa is in parentheses, but it's spelled a little differently in the pasuk, but whatever. Va'asa me'rivavas kodesh. The pasuk says Hashem came from the tens of thousands of kodesh. So we doubt in the word "asa" ois hu baravava shaloi means Hashem is an ois, a unique thing among his ravava, among the host of the tremendous number of malachim that are there. So in other words, he knew to look for something that is different than everything else around them. In other words, we said before, for example, that the Acher saw Matat sitting, and that caused him to mistakenly think that Matat is another god. Rabbi Akiva realized, this is how the article explains it, Rabbi Akiva realized that there's other malachim like Matat, And he knows Einod Milvado. He knows that Hashem is Yochid Miyuchad. Therefore, he knew that can't possibly be Hashem, and that prevented him from making the same kind of mistake as Acha did. Rabbi Bohu darshins differently, that Rabbi Akiva, there's a different pasuk that Rabbi Akiva used. Dogo me Rabbah, the pasuk says Hashem is, Dogo literally means like we're like holding a dego, holding a flag, me Rabbah among the huge number of malachim. Meaning, Dugmahu, Rabbah Shaloi, Hashem is a unique thing. Hashem is a unique thing. Hashem is a unique thing among his tens of thousands of malachim, meaning, in other words, Maharsha says, the word dogul literally means like a person who carries a flag. Like, imagine you have, for example, an army going to war, and you have one of them is carrying a flag, he's noticeable among all the other ones. So the same way, Kabiyachal, Hashem's place in the Ruchniistic world is noticeable compared to the other malachim, and therefore Rabbi Akiva knew to stop before he gets to that point, before he comes too close to Elikos and ends up like the other chachamim. But Reish Lakish, brings a third pasuk, and Rabbi Akiva Darshan, Hashem Tzvakas Shmoy, it says Hashem's name is Hashem of hosts, meaning Odein Hu V'Tzavah Shaloi, Hashem is the master over his hosts of Malachim, meaning the same idea. In other words, don't think that Rabbi Akiva is not going to think that because one of them is sitting, therefore it means that he has independent powers. Like Asher thought, no, he knows that Hashem is ruling over everything and is in control of everything. But Rav Chiya Ba'aba Amar Rav Yechanan, Rav Chiya Ba'aba says in the name of Rav Yechanan, a fourth thing that Rav Akiva Darshan, the pasuk says, Loi Varua, we find when Hashem appeared to Eliyahu HaNavi on Har Choriv, it says, Loi Varua Hashem, it says Hashem did not come in the wind, Ba'acha Ruach Rash, and after the wind, after the powerful wind, the storm, there was an earthquake, Loi Varash Hashem, and Hashem didn't appear in the earthquake, Ba'acha Rash Eish Loi Va'esh Hashem, then after that there was a fire, and Hashem didn't come in the fire, Ba'acha Eish killed Mama Daka, after that there was a still small voice of Hashem speaking, and it says earlier, a few psukim earlier, Vihini Hashem Oyder, Hashem is packing, so therefore Rabbi Akiva was able to use that to understand when the Shekhinah is passing, or when he's passing by the Shekhinah, and therefore that he knew that to where to stop. He realizes when the Shekhinah is coming, and therefore where to stop. So he knew not to go beyond what he could understand, and also not to make the same kind of mistakes as Acha did. But we said yesterday that when it says Nichnas B'Shalom, Yatz B'Shalom, it explains in the Siddur that he went in with the mentality of Rotzai for the purpose of Shoiv, and therefore Yatz B'Shalom, therefore he was able to keep his wits about him and realize not to go too far where he's going to end up with Rotzai without Shoiv. Since we're talking about Malachim, the Gemara digresses and says, Tanan Rabbanan, Shisha Dvarim Nemru B'Shedim, when it comes to Shedim, there are six things that the Chachamim said about him, six qualities that they have. Shloisha to Malach Hasharis. There are three ways in which Shedim are like the Malach Hasharis. Or Shloisha to Bnei Adam, and three in which they're like human beings. Shloisha to Malach Hasharis. In three ways, Shedim are like Malach Hasharis. Yeshlem to Fayim to Malach Hasharis. They have wings like the Malachim. But Tossim is Sofa Olamad Sofa to Malach Hasharis. They can fly from one end of the world to the other like the Malach Hasharis. Which Maharsha says, they have wings, of course they can fly with the Chiddush. It means, unlike human beings who can't live in all possible climates, there are certain places in the world that are just, human beings can't live there unless, I guess, like with a lot of technology or whatever, like at the North or South Pole or something, but the Shadim are able to go there. And the third one, the Yodin, Masha Asibli, is Malach Asher. They know what's going to happen in the future, like the Malachim do. What do you mean they know? As if like they know themselves. How do you think that? The Malach HaSharif don't even know unless Hashem tells them. Ella, you're right. What it means is Shoyman Ma'achoriya Paragud. The Malach HaSharif means they know because they hear from behind the Paragud, from behind the Prasa, as called in Sifri, as called in the Zohar, between Atzilus and the other world, they can hear from behind that what's going on, unlike human beings mostly can. So now, in those three ways, Shadim are like Malach. And then Ushloisha Kibnei Adam, there are three ways in which Shadim are like people. Ochlin B'Shoitin Kibnei Adam, they eat like people do. Porin B'Rovin Kibnei Adam, they have relations and have children like the way people do. Umeitin Kibnei Adam, and they die like the way people do. Maharsha explains, it means not just that they eat as people eat, that as they eat, in other words, as opposed to Malachim don't eat. It means also they eat the same kind of food as people eat. And they have relations in the same way as human beings do, not foot to back like most animals. And they die like people do, unlike the way like an animal dies and it's just on the carcass is thrown away. And the Gemara continues, Shishad Vorim Nemud Bnei Adam, people themselves are part one, part the other. Shloshik Malach HaShoret, or Shloshik Behemah. There are three ways in which people are like Malach HaShoret, and three in which a person is like a Behemah. Shloshik Malach HaShoret, the three in which a person is like the Malach HaShoret, is Yeshlam Das Malach HaShoret. Human beings have understanding and intelligence like the Malach HaShoret, unlike animals. Umahalchen Bekemah Skufa Kamalach HaShoret, they walk upright, like the Malach HaShoret. There's a line in Hayom Yom that says that it's a great chesed that Hashem did, that Hashem made, that people walk upright so that they can look at Shemayim every so often and realize who created them and then what they, and how we have to relate to it. As opposed to a behemoth lives its whole life looking down at the ground and therefore, and then doesn't walk upright and spends its whole life looking down at the ground. So that's another, that's the second advantage that people have. And the third one was Saturn, B'Loshon HaKodesh, Kamalach HaShoret. They speak Lashon Kodesh like the Malachim do. Obviously, it doesn't mean that all people in the world speak Lashon Kodesh, but in other words, the point is they have the capability of speaking unlike the animals, and among those who speak, some of them speak Lashon Kodesh. So in those three ways, we are like Malachim. And then on the other hand, Shloshik Kodehema, there are three ways in which a person is like an animal. Ochon V'shoshik Kodehema, we eat and drink like animals do, unlike Malachim. Or Parin V'rovin Kodehema, we have children like the way animals do, unlike Malachim. Or Mitzin we eat Kodehema, and we go to the bathroom like animals do. So not like animals do in the sense that we do these things the same way they do, but in other words, as opposed to Malachim, who don't do these things at all, we have to do those things. But that's the point, in other words, the person is like halfway between a human being, halfway between a malach and a behemoth, and therefore, so what is the person going to do? What is the person going to actualize? The behemoth side of him, or the better thing is to actualize the malach hasharis part of him, and go even beyond the malach hasharis, where, you know, we said before, the malach hasharis stand, the oimdim, people are mahalchim, they're able to go up from level to level and become higher and higher. We'll continue on Masar Shabbos, Hashem. Shabbat, everyone.